Blog Talk Radio.
Oh,
Hello, welcome to tonight's show. Hopefully I sound okay. Let me do a test. Okay, I sound fine. Welcome, welcome, welcome to tonight's show. Today is November 2nd, it's 2022. Oh, I like that, 11-2-2-2. It's 7:09 p.m. Central Standard Time. I am one of your hosts. Tanisha, your other host, will be with us shortly. But thank you so much for tuning in to PGN. Things have just been ramping up in the prophetic realm. God has really been pouring out revelation. He's been uncovering things. He's been unearthing things. He's been shedding light on things. And it's so cool to be a part of it. And you're a part of it too. You're a part of this network. You are a part of what God has been doing and the move of God. And we're just seeing a taste of what is going to continuously happen as these days wrap up, because we're in the end times. Some people don't want to believe that, but your choice to believe it or not doesn't, you know, make it true or not. Truth is what it is. We can either accept it or not, but it doesn't change it from being true. So God told me years ago when I was a baby in Christ that the end times are going to be like the beginning times, as far as even the state of society and even how he used the prophets in the beginning of time. Everything went through the prophets, and God told me that he was going to use the prophets in the end times. They were going to get the information. They were going to be like the news, because now we have all these different sources to get information. They didn't have that back then, back when the prophets were the ones that were the voice of God. There wasn't YouTube and all these different outlets that we have now to get information. The prophets were who God uses, and that's what we're getting back to, where God's going to be using the prophetic realm, because there's going to become a time where we don't have access to news stations and all that kind of stuff. And when we will have access, but it will be very biased. It won't be real news. It'll be what they want you to know. So you may not know what's going on, excuse me, in other parts of the country based on the standard news outlets. You will have to get your information from the prophetic outlet that God is putting into place now, this being one of them. You'll have to know what's going on through the prophets, because even in these end times, we're going to see false prophets come into reign. False prophets come into power in the society, because they're going to, a lot of them won't even know that they're in the wrong. You know, they're going to really be believing the things that they are preaching and teaching. And they're going to have a false Jesus, right? Because we're starting to see it now. You know, there's lots of churches and denominations that are embracing everybody and saying that they're doing this in the name of Jesus. And that's not, Jesus loves everybody, but everybody is not a child of God. Because even the Word of God talks about Satan being the father of lies. And in their scripture that calls out people on being like their father, the devil. So everybody's not a child of God. Everybody's a creation of God. They're not a child of God. And you see now these ministries, some of these ministries that are teaching, well, everybody's a child of God. So he just accepts and loves everybody despite the things that they do and making sin be acceptable. You don't have the right to make sin acceptable. You don't have the authority to do that. God is, once God deems something what it is, that's just what it is. You could dance around it. You could try to cloak it. You could try to talk your way out of it. But it still is what it is. If I put a sheet over a dog and call it something else, it's still a dog under that sheet. It is what it is. Me trying to cover it up and call it something different doesn't change the fact of what it is. And that's what we're seeing a lot of these ministries doing now. They're trying to put cloak the truth, because they're concerned about people and they don't want to be name called by people, or they don't want to appear to be something else, because people are manipulating them to say, well, you can't serve a God of love if you don't accept these things that are wrong. If you don't accept lies and manipulation, then you can't certainly love everybody or serve a God of love. And so people think they're somehow defending God by conforming. Because I don't want to make God look bad. No, you made God look bad when you bent and you bowed down to the pressure of what people think about you. As believers, we don't concern ourselves with that. Our concern is, what does God think about us? Our second host has come in and joined us.
Hello.
Oh, I thought you were going to say who you were.
I didn't know you were saying.
For those who didn't.
They know who I am. They don't.
You might have some new people that called in. Everybody don't know who you are.
You preaching.
Okay, well, it's Terrence, for those who don't know, because we know that there are people who listen in by other outlets. That's our other host, my sweetheart.
Don't break that word.
But
introduce me, I'm irrelevant.
No, you're not irrelevant. But we're going to see, and we are seeing people thinking that they're defending God by accepting everything, and that's not defending God. It's insulting to God. We're not called to conform. We're called to minister the truth, right? To preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news. You can't take from it or add to it. Because if you take from or add to it, now it's not what it was. It's not being given in its intended form. And we're going to see a lot of these ministries preaching a different Jesus, a different gospel. And if it's different, it's not the truth. It's not factual. It's not authentic. So we have to, as true believers, we have to preach the good news, and we have to not concern ourselves with what they may think about us. Because a lot of times it's not even that they think that about that. It's just a manipulation tactic to try to get you to say what they're doing is okay. People, the society deep down wants the church to okay their sin, so that they can stop feeling that conviction. Because if what we were saying as a body of Christ didn't affect them emotionally or affect anything about them, they wouldn't care what we were talking about. Why are they so concerned? Why are they argumentative? Why do they care so much? Because they know it's true deep down inside, and it makes them feel some sort of way. Because they don't have any peace about the decisions that they make, because we're preaching something different, and something inside of them is agreeing to what we're preaching. But if we were to say, oh, no, we were wrong all this time, and live and let live, and you're free to do whatever you want, you'll still make it. You don't need Jesus. You don't need nobody. You can just do whatever you want. Then they feel like they would feel okay. But we can't say that, because it's not true. Because even the Word of God says even people very conscious will condemn them, because they know deep down when they're doing the wrong things, even without being told that they're doing the wrong things. And so we're going to see a move of God with the prophetic, with the real prophets in the revelation. And we've seen some of that even here, excuse me, on this network, with God revealing things with like the Antichrist and, excuse me, we saw it with the elections. We saw it with when the queen died. We've just been seeing a lot of different, over the years, revelation that's been coming out through the prophetic. And it's just going to turn up. It's just going to amp up. And so thank God that you're connected to a ministry and a network that is committed to telling the truth, that's committed to being the prophetic voice of God in these times. Excuse me, despite what people might think about it. It's not about, when you prophesy, you don't think about how the receiver is going to take it. You just say what God says. Excuse me, I've been having a cough due to my allergies. So give me a minute. But when we unmute you and just start prophesying over you, there's no thought into, I hope they take this well. First of all, we don't even know what we're going to say. So we don't have any room or any time to think about how you're going to take what's being said, because we're hearing it fresh just like you're hearing it fresh. With the concern is making sure that you get what God is trying to give you through us. We're just a serving bowl. Whatever God puts in us to serve you is what God chooses to put in us to serve you. We don't take a peek, see first, say, oh, man, I don't know if they're going to like that. No, give you what God gives you. Because you don't serve us. We didn't make you. We didn't purpose you. We don't have a will for you that's intertwined with eternity. That's God. So he does what he wants. He says what needs to be said for your edification and for your benefit. And thank God that you're connected to a network of people who are dedicated to that, because there's going to come all sorts of ministries that pop up that want to cater to people and their fragile feelings, want to make them feel good. You know what makes me feel good? The truth. I don't know if you listened to last night's show, but I really feel like that show was for me. Randy was talking about that wilderness. Sometimes when you're having those wilderness experiences, and it's in between, it's like a transition. And I've been feeling like that. I have been feeling like that, and trying to. I feel like I've been like the children of Israel when they were released from Egypt, and then they got into the wilderness, and then they were like, let's go back. At least we have warm beds and we have food every day. But knowing that wasn't for them anymore. And that's how I've been feeling. And that show was for me. And that, that word was for me, as well as some other ones, because I think a lot of us are going through that right now, that season of transition. And sometimes it feels very like you're just in the forest and don't know where you're going. You're just like, okay, I'm here. Maybe I'm lost. But yet you know that that's where you're supposed to be, and you know that you have to continue to move forward, and you can't go back. But the temptation of going back is strong, because at least if you go back, you're in a familiar territory. And you could kind of feel like, okay, I know where I'm at, know what I'm doing. We're moving ahead. You can't see what's ahead. And it feels very unfamiliar. And sometimes you do feel very lost. But yet you know that that's the path that you're supposed to be on. And so, you know, sometimes when you receive the truth, doesn't, it's not all, you know, rainbows and lollipops, but it's true. And it helps you to continue on and to get to that next level. Somebody, if you're feeling lost, somebody says, yeah, you're in the wilderness. That doesn't feel good, but at least you know what's going on. It feels good that this is where I'm supposed to be. So if this is where I'm supposed to be, I want to learn and grow where I'm at, because every season, every stage is not going to feel good, but it's necessary. There's nothing that you're experiencing or going through in life that's just in vain when you're serving God. He makes it all work out for your good. He puts purpose in it. There's something that you need to get to the next level. There's something that's needed. And so you just submit to God and trust him. I want to read you something before we start answering callers tonight that God gave me right before we came on. We're going to go into Mark 11. And we're going to start with verse 27. We're going to read 27 through 33. I'm reading it out of the Amplified, and the header is Jesus' authority questioned. They came again to Jerusalem, and as Jesus was walking in the courts and porches of the temple, the chief priests, the scribes, and the elders came to him and began saying to him, by what authority are you doing these things, or who gave you this authority to do these things? Jesus said to them, I will ask you one question, and you answer me, and then I will tell you by what authority I do these things. Was the baptism of John the Baptist from heaven, that is ordained by God, or from men? Answer me. They began discussing it with each other, saying, if we say from heaven, he will say, then why did you not believe him? But shall we say from men? They were afraid to answer because of the crowd, for everyone considered John to have been a real prophet. So they replied to Jesus, we do not know. And Jesus said to them, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. Can you answer that question? He only gave two options, heaven or men. And we know the answer to that is heaven. And so that's what we put our focus on. As these days go on and as the times change, we have to focus on the one who has the authority from heaven. Because the ones who have their authority from men, they're going to try it. They will try it. They're going to try to get you to bend and conform and renounce. They're going to try to get you to second guess and to think that you were in error or you were wrong. But no, we walk by the authority. We do our things through Jesus. And Jesus received his authority from heaven. So if we're powered by Jesus, then we're powered by heaven. And that's the authority that we stand on in these days. That's the authority that matters. That's the authority that supersedes. That's the authority. That's the ultimate authority. So I say that to you because you might be going through a wilderness moment. You might be feeling the need to conform. You might be feeling the need to bow down to people or situations or things that are controlled by the authority of men. That don't have no power. That's not real power. The real power is in the one who has their authority from heaven. And that's why Jesus was able to say and do the things that he did. The reason why they were questioning him is because he was going against their men, human authority. He was in direct opposition. So that's why they're asking him, where, who are you? Where are you getting your authority from? Who are you to do these things? Who are you to say these things? Because they felt like they were the ones who had authority. So they was challenging. Like, it was almost like a how dare you type thing. Because he was in direct opposition to their authority. And we're going to see that in these end times. We're going to see God's authority in direct opposition of the powers of men, the authority of men. I mean, that's always been the case, but we're going to see it more than ever. But that's always been the case. Can't serve God and mammon. You either for God or you against them. There's no gray. There's no lukewarm. You're lukewarm, he spits you out. You've got to be hot or cold. Can't play both sides. But we're going to see more and more of that. And you have to really put your trust in the authority of God. We even saw it with the vaccine. You know, with when they were starting to say, well, we're the people with authority, when people wouldn't just conform and do what they wanted them to do, they started to flex their man-given authority. Well, we're gonna revoke your passport. You can't travel. You're gonna get fired from your job and all this to try to force you to do things. And that was something that was optional. Because you could choose to get it or choose not to get it. But for those who are choosing not to get it for whatever reason, they were trying to force with their man-given authority. But that's just a taste. That's just a prelude of what's going to happen. They're going to start trying to force you to do things not that you don't have no option, telling you it's this or nothing. And it's going to be in direct opposition of God. I don't think getting the vaccine or not getting the vaccine was in direct opposition of God. You in direct opposition of God if you did the opposite of what he told you what to do as far as that situation, what was best for your body. But there's going to come a time where those in power are going to try to tell everybody to do a certain thing where there is no option, and it's going to be in direct opposition of God, and you're going to have to choose which authority you're going to fold a bend to or adhere to. The God-given heaven or man. So be praying for the strength to be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, to say, I'm not bowing to you. I don't care what you do. And even if my God doesn't save me, I want you to know I'll never do what you want me to do. That takes faith in the authority of who you serve. You have anything to add, my dear? Let's do a collective prayer and then start answering callers. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, very grateful for another day, another opportunity to spread your message and to come to you with our request and to be strengthened and sharpened by you and by one another. We just love and honor you, Father God, and we just ask that you give us boldness and you fortify us, Father God, fortify us in your word so that we can be bold and speak the truth in love. We're not trying to battle people or break people down or make them feel bad. We're trying to just tell them the truth so that they can be made free, so that they can have an option to get out of the prison, the world's way of thinking. And Lord, we just pray that we will be strong and continue to adhere and only serve you, that each day we choose who we serve. And let us make the wise decision each day to choose to serve you, and help us to have the discernment when we're not choosing you, that we're able to identify it and change our mind. That we could change our mind at any given time. Because sometimes we're not serving you in certain areas of our life, but give us the humility and the discernment to change our minds when we're not. There's nothing wrong with making a mistake. The problem is continuing with the mistake once it's identified. So, Lord, we love and honor you. Speak to your people tonight, Lord. Let Terrence and I decrease as you increase. Use us, Father God, as your vessels, as your mouthpiece to deliver the words that you desire for your people to know, for their edification, their strength, their encouragement, and their fuel, their power to continue to move on and to go forward and to continue to run, walk, or crawl in their race. However they get there, just let them get there. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Let me get my notepad together. All right, let's start answering some callers. First caller here is 910-709. What are we speaking with?
Oh, this is Sylvia from North Carolina.
Hey, Sylvia, how are you tonight?
Hello,
good.
Sylvia.
How are you? Hi.
Great. We are doing great.
Let's pray for you. Let's pray.
Good.
All right. Lord, we thank you for Sylvia tonight, Father God. We thank you for the unction. Like when you're moving and you're under the unction of the Holy Spirit, it's another word that God wants to highlight, the unction. Oh, Lord. Okay, the anointing. The unction, this being that's it, being under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God has anointed you. And you have to know that you are anointed, because when you are anointed, you move differently, like You truly do not move and operate in fear when you know you've been anointed by God to do something. But you could actually be in some very dangerous situations, but you're not afraid of being in a dangerous situation because God has anointed you for everything that's going to be presented to you. So it's like you really, God don't want you to have to worry, Sylvia, when it comes down to like knowing what to say and knowing what to do, when it comes down to like a new place, being around a new group of people, or things like that. Certain things that kind of take you out of your comfort zone, and that's good. That's good to get out of your comfort zone and understand that God is really has anointed you to handle all that's being presented. So, Lord, we just thank you for coming against any fears, any worries, any doubts, any concerns that Sylvia has towards the call, towards the purpose that for her life, Father God. Give her clarity in Jesus' name to continue to press and tapping into the supernatural strength that's needed to overcome the powers that be in this world, because it's a spiritual battle, and I'm sure you know this, and it's way more spiritual than it is physical. I mean, like when I was in the military, like just in organized sports and stuff, when it came down to doing the physical things, even when it came down to working out and everything, it was always told to us is 90% mental and 10% physical. If we had to put it on a scale, a percentage scale. So even then, the world knows that it's mind over matter, you know. And so God is really expanding your mind to see beyond, I mean, to really open up and to think beyond what you could ever imagine. Just think it. Like Lord, show me what it is you want me to see, Lord. And when you show it to me, Lord, I want to believe it. You know, start having faith for what God is showing you. That's things that you've never seen before. Things that you've never experienced. And allow that to marinate, because you are anointed to handle it all. You're anointed, you're well equipped. And that's what I have for you in Jesus' name.
Amen. Lord, we thank you right now for Sylvia. Thank you for her seeing you in new light. It's like I see God working even like a pair of crutches. If you've ever had a sprain or broke a leg or a toe or anything where you're not able to walk, they give you crutches so that you can walk, because a wheelchair gets you around. But crutches gives you the ability to be upright and to walk. And I see you seeing God in different ways, even like a pair of crutches. It helps you, because if you don't have those crutches, you're out of there, right? When you've had something broken or damaged or something that's on the mend, you can't walk on one of the feet. Because crutches they only make that an option if one of your legs is affected, because you can still put weight on one and then the crutch acts as like the other leg. If both of your legs are not working or functioning, then that's when they put you in a wheelchair, because your arms are still available but your legs are not in commission. But I see God like a crutch, like in areas that are not working or that are mending him. You're having the ability to put the full weight on him. So that's what you do with crutches. You have to, the leg that's out of commission, the crutch takes the weight that leg would have normally taken. And then as you mend, then you can start putting light weight on it. But still the crutches are stabilizing you, and then eventually you don't need the crutches at all. And so God is showing you that in areas that you're healing or he's mending you in, that are not in commission right now, that you just put the weight on him. Because sometimes, you know, a person say, well, I can't do anything because, you know, my foot's broken. Imagine somebody say, I can't go to the store. I can't do anything because my foot's broken. No, you can still go. You just got to get your crutches. So it's a little bit more cumbersome, but you still could do it. But that's how some people do with areas of their life. They feel like, oh, I can't do nothing until I'm healed in this area or until I'm whole in this area. No, then you just use Jesus as your crutches. Just put the weight on him in that particular area until you're good to go, because all these other areas you're fine. You know, imagine a person saying, I can't work ever until I'm not on crutches, but you still can sit down, you still can use your hands, you still can use your arms, your voice still works. You have all these other things, you just on the mend on this one foot, but now you're saying, I can't do nothing, but people do it all the time. Oh, I'm not right in this area of my life, and they work it on the area, but they throw the whole thing away. I can't do nothing because I'm on the mend. No, you still are okay. None of us are perfect, especially those of us God uses in a ministry capacity. But you don't throw away the whole ministry. You don't throw away the whole person because one area is not where it needs to be. God's mending that area. You just put the weight on him. That's it. So he's going to show you himself in that area to use him as the crutches. Now, you don't just throw the whole person away because the one foot or the leg or the knee or whatever that part that they can't walk on is mending. We don't do that. That's why we got crutches. So, Lord, we just thank you for Sylvia, Father God. We thank you for her seeing you in new ways, because you are the great I am. So you are everything that we need you to be, and for her seeing in her life the areas that are mending or weakened, that she could use you as a crutch. She could continue to still do the things that you've called her to do and just use you as the crutch so that she can still move around, so she can still operate, so that she can still be in commission. She doesn't have to be out of commission. She can still be in commission. Sometimes it just takes a little bit more work. Walking on crutches takes way more work than walking on 2 feet, but it can be done. So just because it takes more work don't mean that it can't be done. It just takes more work. It just takes more commitment. And through this process, you're going to show her that she's committed. A person who's determined to walk on crutches is committed to walk. They could just wheel around if they wanted to, but they're committed to walk and grow strong and to mend. So help her to see that. Give her a new perspective on things. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Well, that was a great word. Did you have anything in particular that you wanted prayer for tonight?
I want a prayer for my brother. He's just beginning to take dialysis, and he's waiting for a kidney.
Okay. What's your brother's name?
Milton.
Milton. All right, let's pray for Milton. Yes. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we ask that you touch Milton, touch his mind, touch his body. We pray for whatever's needed in his body, Father God, that you would heal him however you see fit. Heal the kidneys and even his heart and his faith. Heal that as well, Father God. Sometimes we're heartbroken when we experience certain things. But heal his heart and any hurt that he may have. It's hurtful when your body starts to break down, especially when you get to the point that you are needing new parts in your body and now having to rely on dialysis machines, things like that to keep your blood clean, healthy, to keep you healthy. That can be hurtful. Even if a person's willing to do it, even if they have a good attitude, it's still a hurtful experience. So we pray, Father God, that you heal his heart and his hurt, and that you heal his body, Father God. Heal his body however you see fit to heal his body. And we thank you for it. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank
you're
you.
Welcome. Thank you for calling in tonight, Sylvia.
Thank you. God bless you both.
Thank you. God bless you, too. Have a good night.
Good night. Bye.
Amen. Next caller, 610-969. Who are we speaking with?
This is Lisa. Shalom. Shalom.
Hey, Lisa.
Oh, hallelujah.
How are you tonight?
I'm okay. How are y'all doing? I missed the show, so I don't even know. You got to catch me up, but I understand about the wilderness girl, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's interesting that can be reoccurring here and there, you know, not all the time, but in between seasons, like you say, so.
Right. And when you're in it, you feel it. Randy was talking about it last night, so you have to tune in.
I missed it.
Tune into the archives, because even after he started talking about it, he was like, I don't know why I'm talking about this. I had something completely different that I was supposed to be talking about. But I knew, I was like, that was for me. I needed that, because that's the season.
Yeah,
that
y'all
I'm
be
in
the flow. That's beautiful. See how God, I love it. A lot of times, even when this started happening to me years ago, where I, even if I don't get in, God, you know, get in the call or, you know, get on the call queue, whatever, I'll be ministered by the message and by the other callers, you know, so
right. That's
beautiful. I love the way you guys are connected. So I love the way Papa Dios, Father God, did that for you. That's beautiful.
Yeah, I was very grateful, because right when I called in, it seemed like you could just feel it, a shift. And so I knew it was for me. Right. I know other people got blessed by it too, but I'm like, Lord, that message was for me. And I didn't have to get into the truth. I didn't have to do a 101. I got what I needed. And I'm always grateful to God that he does that. That's one thing I love about the prophetic. He's going to give you what you need, whether you talk to somebody or not, through the message, through somebody else. He always supplies.
Yes, through a dream, through flashbacks, through a circumstance, happened, like passing by certain somebody, like today, the sister Sylvia, her brother is Milton. I was just talking to Milton earlier today. That's not a common name. I was at the farmer's market and I talked to a Milton today. And I was like, wow, guys, you know what that did? I was praying with you for the other Milton and made me pray for the other Milton. So it was like a double, you know, double whammy. It was beautiful.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, God is good.
He knows.
He orders our steps, right? So he knew that that we would be talking tonight, that I would call in, that I didn't hear last night's message, that you would be talking about it, that would help me to, like, you know, go and listen to the archive. So God is so amazing how he orders our steps, you know, orchestrates everything. So I'm glad that you were able to be ministered to last night, and now I'm going to listen to it, and it'll minister to me as well, and whoever else is listening tonight that didn't listen mm-hmm. last night, you know. Thank you.
You're welcome. Let's pray for you. Heavenly Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord. Thank you for Lisa, Father God. We just thank you for the vindication and for the, it's like God is certifying you, the certification. When things are certified, it's like it's been, it's been like the person who is in charge or over it is like almost okaying it and saying it's, they approve it. Let's look up what certified means. Certify definition. Merriam-Webster, because that's my favorite. To attest authoritatively. Thank you. To attest as being true or as represented or as meeting a standard. To attest officially, to guarantee, I like that, to recognize as having met special qualifications. That's what I see. I see God vindicating you, which we know what vindication means, and certifying you. So I think the certification is coming through the vindication. Sometimes people really... they don't know who you are. Like, they know who you are, but they don't know who you are, right? Because they only see a certain side of you, have only had certain dealings with you. And sometimes people will underestimate you based on their power or their name or their authority, but not know who you are. You know, imagine if we were in the time of John the Baptist and we were working with him or something and not knowing who he was, like, oh, that's John, but not knowing that, that's John the Baptist. That's who God has ordained to bring on the coming and to proclaim the coming of the Lord, you know. So knowing somebody and knowing somebody, those are two different things. You can know of a person but not know them. And so sometimes people treat us a certain way because they know a part of us, but they don't know who we really are. You know, they don't know. They don't know our gifts. They don't know our power. They don't know our the reason why God has placed us in this earth. They have no idea. And so they might treat us according to who they are or, you know, the level that they know us on. Maybe if we work together with them in an organization and they have a high, you know, title, so they might treat us according to their title. Like, oh, that's just a little peon, but I got all the power. I'm this, that, and the other. And treat us bad, and God vindicates, and then through that vindication, then they go, oh, surely this must be a woman of God. Surely this must be a man of God because of how God handles things and the favor that they see through the vindication. So then through the vindication, you're certified because it wasn't done at your hand. It was done at God's hand. Like when the children of Israel were let go of Egypt, the works that God was doing, the plagues and all that, that's certified though. That these are they are certified children of God. Because Egyptians, if you study Egyptology, they worship lots of gods. They had God, a God for everything. Gods and goddesses, even some animals and things that they worshiped. So they were certified through these plagues that they worshiped the real God, because their gods were just sitting back taking a nap, eating a sandwich. There's nothing going on with their gods. So they knew that they were the children of the true God through all that those plagues and all those things that were happening, and they were certified. So that's what I'm seeing with you. Like, God is going to vindicate you and certify you at the same time. So even the ones that catch the vindication, they will know who you are. They will know. Because it's not enough, you know, people do us wrong. It's not enough for you know, them to be spiritually beat up. We want them to be on the right standing with God too. But at the same time, we want them to know, like, who you are. Sometimes you're misunderstood, and you want them to understand who you are. You know, I ain't here to harm you or to fight you or to do this, that, and the other. I'm just doing the work that God has assigned to me. And once they understand that, then they have a better understanding of how God operates. They have a better understanding of you, and it makes things peaceful. And so, Lord, we just thank you for the vindication and the certification, Father God, through your hand, through your mighty work, through your wisdom and your power. And we thank you, Father God, that you do things that are not like we do. Your ways are not like our ways, and your thoughts are not like our thoughts, but you do what you do. You do what needs to be done. And so we just thank you for that. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. She's probably on mute.
Yep. Oh my goodness. Yes. You know me by now. Amen. 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 Like, you don't even know. And like, you always hit it. That's why I love y'all, because I know y'all are with the Holy Spirit. So yeah, that is happening. It seems like the assignments that I've been sent on the last few years were like where you were talking about your thing with the whole Jezebel experience with the friendship and all that. I had mm-hmm. some lessons with that as well, but also working in quote-unquote ministry. I call them organizations, Christian organizations. And also quote-unquote friends. Yeah, mm-hmm. right. You know, in all that, when you said the vindication, I was like, oh, wow, God, okay, thank you, because that is something that has been a topic, I would say, for like 3 years now. And so there's multiple incidences, but I learned the art of intercession is beautiful, because what the Holy Spirit showed me or does through me, it's beautiful. I learned from Pastor Benny Hinn, that Jesus is forever making intercession at the right hands of the Father, right? We know mm-hmm. that as the high priest. But he's praying for our faith, yo. He's praying for the saints here on earth, the faith. And then the Holy Spirit is the one that prays through us, forever making intercession here on earth. And that, like, clicked for me differently. So I was, like, throughout the years, I was, like noticing that the breakthrough came for me when I learned surrender, when I was able to, like, really surrender. And God helped me out with that, because he broke me all the way down. So it was, like, a head start. And when I learned that thing of yielding, it's easier to live in a yielded, surrendered, submitted place than in self-will. Self-willful, like when you're willful disobedience, he calls it. Mm. And we all had that, right? I know I did, because I had so much deliverance. But learning that surrendered place, right? Because he says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he shall flee. And I mm-hmm. noticed that, like, living in that surrendered place, there's a difference when I pray in tongues and when the Holy Spirit takes over with me. And that's where the power comes, like the power, because it's like a place where, like, almost like, you know how people get possessed? Well, I would say I can get possessed by the Holy Spirit when he comes upon me. It's a different thing. It's, I guess, that, you know, prayer when we say minimize, where we decrease while he increases. That, I guess, is the process of how it happens. But I learned that that's where the breakthrough is. With that surrendered place, you know, like, once you can get to that place of surrender, not my will be done, but yours, and it feels joyful. I remember when I first, like, mourned and grieved for giving up my dreams and goals that I had for myself, and I'm so glad that I went through that process, because God's plan is better, y'all. You know, it is written. It says all of our days are written. So I asked for the Lord to go into his scrolls in the heavenly library and realign me, you know, like put me on the right path, recalibrate, whatever, detour if I need to, you know, whatever it is that that I need to, like, to align, because, you know, God's will is not always done. God's will is not always done. That's why we have to pray for it to be done. But I find it better. But it's that process of learning how to surrender. That's where the breakthrough came for me anyway. And then when I'm in the wilderness, Tanisha, I like, oh man, I'd be like, God, why am I not trusting you? Like, I just be, like, he's my best friend. So I'd be talking to him about everything, you know? And, I'd be like, what is going on with me? Like, you know, like I, like the other week I was like, God, I need deliverance. I'm hearing a false voice. And it was so interesting how it all worked out. But basically I was supposed to go to this conference in Philly and my son was going to go with me, and I got delivered because I had codependency. And I asked God, I said, you know, you have to break the umbilical cord. And like, I don't know, you know, like how I surrender this, because I do it all the time. And I said, the thing that I was surrendering is wanting their freedom, their deliverance, their whatever spiritual encounter that I want for them so bad, more than they do. I said, God, I know I don't want it more than you do, but I definitely want it more than they do. So help me to give this to you. So he helped me in a roundabout way. My son called me and I had to come back and get him, wait for him. Took him to Philly, but for him to chill with his boys and not, you know, go to the conference, which was fine, because on Sunday is when the Lord showed me how I was free, yo. Because I used to be sensitive to the dark energy that bees around my family, because I had it, you know. I already got deliverance. So I be knowing straight up that it's demonic, because there's weirdo, bizarro things that happen. Flies coming out of nowhere, like crazy stuff. I've been astral projected to and everything. Like, this is war zone, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I'd be like, oh, man, I want them to be free. Like, it's like, to me, it's like unnecessary warfare, yo. Like, really, like, why do y'all want to be on the devil's side? For real, why? So, but God set me free. He didn't set them free yet, like, in the full manifestation. But I didn't even care, yo, by Sunday. I didn't even care anymore. God took that from me. Like, he took it from me. Like, I just was, like, it. Like, I had a buffer. That's what I had, like some kind of buffer around me. It was so amazing. Like, it doesn't affect me. Whereas before, it would really affect me. So now God, you know, he did some kind of healing in my brain too, all kinds of interesting things that he did that weekend. But God is amazing, amazing. The one thing that happened to me, maybe y'all can help me prophetically. This thing was like my back was breaking, like when I gave birth. Like, he gave me the prophetic, revelatory insight about witchcraft in our bloodline. You know, like our ancestors, they didn't have the revelation of the blood of Christ, so they used other blood. That's how they serviced their altars. So I felt it in my back, like, breaking at one point for the region of Philadelphia, for the poverty spirit and witchcraft spirit over that region. And it was interesting how, like, I felt a buffer that day, too. Like even though my back was breaking, I didn't feel it. Like, oh, like, I'm being attacked right now. My back is being broken. The enemy's after me. I felt it more like, I don't know, like burden bearing, like it was intercession. So it was almost like it hurt, but it was almost like at the same time joy, like it was different. It wasn't like pain, like, oh my God, this is painful, even though it did hurt. So that was very interesting how God used the back breaking for that, for the manifestation of breaking witchcraft over the region. So I don't know if y'all got anything from that, why he would use that, but the only thing I was thinking about is how he got scourged in the back, but it didn't feel like that. It felt like when I was giving birth, like the contractions, like, oh, my back, because I got induced. So that was like really painful when I got, you know, when I gave birth. So I don't know. That was interesting. But thank you guys. I'm just rambling. I love you guys, and God bless you.
Oh, love you too. God bless you. If we pick up anything about the back breaking, you know, when we talk to you again, we'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. God bless y'all.
God bless you too.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, let's get to our next caller here. Let me get my list. I want to make sure I don't miss anybody. Okay. Next caller is 903-452. Who are we speaking with?
This is Michelle from Texas.
Hey, Michelle. How are you tonight?
I'm good. How are y'all?
Good.
Doing good.
Yeah, that's perfect. Oh, Lord, we thank you for Michelle tonight, Father God. We thank you for, seeing things be enormous. Like, I saw the word enormous. Enormous can come not only in size, you know, like a physical size or something, but it could be like a task, you know, it could come off as enormous, you know, the enormous task, the importance of something, how big the size of it shows, going to show the importance of it, because God has given you an enormous opportunity and gave all of us an enormous opportunity to be a believer, you know, to accept Christ and be covered with the blood of Jesus, you know, and that's an enormous opportunity. And God is showing you how big the opportunity is through, which is going to make it very relatable to those he's called you for. When you really see the value in what you have and what God has given us. And like, we think we know, you know, we really think we know, oh man, yes, I love God, I got this, da 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 da. But man, God still, he has more to give us, you know, there's still more to him. You know, we'd never be able to wrap everything around God, period. We'll never be able to just get it all, because he's too big. His thought for us are so enormous to where he tells us that we won't even, I haven't seen, nor have our ears heard, the good things that he has in store. So the plans for our life that God has for us is enormous. And he wants you to get that in you to be able to share. He's showing it to you to share. It's not just for you. It ain't even about you, really. It's more about what you were called to do. You know, God has prepared us for our promise. He prepared us for our purpose. He's put it all inside of us. And so as we journey, we grow and we tap into, it's like opening up, you got stocked. Your pantry is filled. When it's time to grab something, you know, you just go in there and grab it. It's there.
Mm-hmm.
It's there. You ain't got to go to the store and get nothing. You are already supplied. Everything is there. You have everything you need to prepare whatever meal you want to prepare, whatever you want to do in the kitchen. It can happen. And that's what God wants you to know tonight. Whatever you come against and come up, or opportunity, just things happen. Whatever it is, you prepare for it. You have everything that you need to handle it. And that's an enormous task. That's an enormous task. And it's a big task. And God has called you and has assigned it to you. And that's an enormous opportunity to have. You know, for God to choose you. God to choose you. And so we just thank God for that being clear to you in your life in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Lord, we just thank you for Michelle, Father God. We thank you for her having the faith, that's required for the things that you would have for her. It's like I see you really having to stretch your faith because God has, he has things for you that traditionally you wouldn't be able to obtain based on worldly standards. But it's like he wants you to just stretch your faith. To just stretch your faith and believe him and not to put faith in the way the world says you have to obtain things. But when God says it's for you, it's just for you. And just leave it at that. Like, honestly, like when Terrence and I bought our home, that was the faith. God told us, you know, you're going to get your home. Gave Terrence the year. So it's going to be finished being built in 2021. It's going to be new. He said it was going to be, you know, we knew what city, all that, but when the way my credit score was looking, it didn't look too good. It didn't match because the world got standards to buy a house. If you don't have the money to buy a house, then you have to go into the world system, their banking system and all that kind of stuff to have the money to get a house. Well, the Lord said, don't worry about that because I was stressing out and all this kind of stuff and checking my score, doing this and the other. And God told Terrence when to tell us to get with the lender, and we did. And he checked our scores and he said, okay, Tanisha, I need your score to go up by X amount of points by this date. And so I'm like, okay. And I was doing all this stuff and it was like a snail. It was slowly creeping up and the Lord said, stop doing it. Don't do nothing. Do nothing. And I didn't do anything and that initially stressed me out. But I'm like, you know what? Let me just trust God. Either God is telling me this or not. Didn't do nothing. And when our lender ran our credit again, he's like, good job, Tanisha. You got your score above what I needed it. And I literally had done nothing. Because when God has something for you, God is going to work all of that out. So don't put your faith in the system. Because I could have just said, you know what, this ain't working. Maybe this ain't the right time. And we'll just do something at some other time. No, I just believe God. And this is for you, Michelle, that there's going to be things that God is promising you and telling you is for you, but you're not going to qualify in the natural. But just trust him. He'll make it work out. Just trust him. Just like the word tonight, whose authority are we going to trust? The authority of men or the authority of heaven? The authority of heaven supersedes the authority of men. Because there's some big things that you got to believe for that in the natural, the enemy going to try to scare you. So what you believing for that for? You ain't qualified for that. You ain't got no money for that. You don't have the connections for that. That is this, that. You don't have the background for that. You don't have the family ties for that. You don't have this, that. No, God said it. That's the authority. I don't need all that other stuff. That's the way the world operates. I'm in it. I'm not, you know, of it. I don't bow down to their authority. I bow down to the authority of heaven. I'm going to let it be done on earth as it is in heaven. So God has already proclaimed it in heaven. So now I'm just waiting on it to manifest in earth, and I'm going to do the steps that God is telling me to do. Because our lender meant well. Our lender's a whole believer. He meant well telling me what needed to be done to get my credit score right. But I bow down to the authority of God. God said don't do nothing. Why did God tell me I have to do nothing? Because he was stretching my faith. And he was showing me that well-meaning people even do what I tell you to do. Even well-meaning people can get you messed up. But follow me. Follow me. Are you going to trust a well-meaning believer or are you going to trust me? And I said, okay, Lord, I'm not going to do nothing. And it got to where it needed to be. So, Lord, we just thank you right now for Michelle for stretching her faith, allowing her to believe what the world says is impossible. What's impossible with men is possible with God. Possible with God. The possibility is there, but what do we believe? It's not what you can and can't do. You can do everything, Lord. What do we believe? Because what we believe is going to be how we walk. What we have faith for is what our works are going to reflect. So we have to have faith for it. Give her the faith, Father God, that she needs to do the things that you want her to do and to obtain the things that you want her to obtain. Even when it looks crazy. It looked crazy for me not to try to fix my credit. That looked completely nuts. But I didn't, because you told me not to, and you got it where it needed to be. Give her that same faith, Father God, and the peace that comes along with it. The peace that comes with the obedience to say, you know, this is crazy, but hey, the Lord said it. I'm just going to do it. And we thank you for it. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. Glory
praise
to God.
God.
Once again, I receive this word. Praise God. Glory to God.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Yeah. Anything
Amen.
In particular
Amen.
You want to pray for?
Yes. Could you pray for my my granddaughter? Her name is De'Asia.
De'Asia?
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty name. Let's pray for her. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for De'Asia, Father God. We lift her to you, Lord Jesus. We just pray for the scales to come off of her eyes, for her to see things very clear, to see things for what they are, so clear that it would scare her, that it would scare her because she's seeing what it is. Now, and knowing that at one point she saw it differently and almost moved based on the false perception of it versus seeing it for what it really is. It's like a person running in the grass and not realizing that it's not really grass, it's blades of snakes. And knowing that, oh, if I kept running to the grass, what I thought was grass, those things could have bit me. But now when I saw what it was, I went back and got away from it. So help her to see things for what they are, the trueness. Let truth always be revealed to her, Father God, and give her the courage that she needs to walk in the truth, to once she sees it, to move accordingly. Not to be in denial, not to make excuses, but to say, you know what, I see it now, and now let me pivot. Yes, let me pivot. Help her to pivot, Lord, in the areas of her life that have been decisions made based on falsehoods and smoke screens and what she thought and lies. Help her to pivot to get on the path that she needs to be on in every single area of her life. But I speak truth over her. Truth. Truth, Father God. I speak truth in her eyesight. I speak truth in her spirit, that she will always have a discernment for the truth and that she will always see the truth. Whether she see it with her physical eye or with insight, that she will always be made aware of the truth, that truth will never hide itself from her, that truth will always be unearthed, that truth will always be seen. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. That was the same prayer that I prayed for her, that she would see truth.
Wow.
Because she's so, so vulnerable. You know what I mean? They are at that age. She's a teenager. Praise God. Thank you, God. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Well, thank you for calling in tonight, Michelle. We're going to keep you lifted and De'Asia.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. God bless you, both of you.
You're welcome. God bless you, too.
God bless you.
Ooh, that's a good prayer, the truth. Love it. Let's go to our next caller here, 614-432. Who are we speaking with?
Hey, God bless you. How you doing, my sister and my brother? This is Deborah calling from Ohio.
Hey, Deborah. How are you tonight?
Fine. How are you doing?
Doing good. Seems like we haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, oh,
yes, it has been. It has been.
We ain't talked to Deborah in a while.
Yes, sir.
Wow. Oh, man,
I was
Ohio.
Listen, y'all need to come to Ohio and run a revival here.
We got the invite. Do we have an open door policy?
Absolutely. Hey, listen, pray about it. Let me know, and we'll move forward.
Hey, I'm down because we definitely need some reviving. That's always important. Right. Amen.
Well, here in Columbus, we need some revivalists to come on up in here. Yes, for sure.
Let's get it.
So pray about it. Pray about it, and we'll move forward in Jesus' name.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're going to pray about it. We're going to definitely let you know.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
We'll probably get a text message from us, a phone call. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Just let me know what's up. And like I said, we'll move forward. We will move forward.
All right. Let's pray. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Lord, we thank you for Deborah tonight, Father God. We thank you for the persistence. Like I see you, like in the pursuit, like a persistent pursuit, like being persistent in your pursuit for like people really seeing what righteousness is, like what it really means to be righteous, because so many people have a mixed understanding of thinking that their righteousness is based on their works and based on what it is that they put their hands to do. But righteousness, it comes through Christ, you know, because he gave his life. We were made righteous because of the blood. And I really see the blood really having like a significant type of pull on you. It's really, the blood is pulling like on you to, it's like share me. Like where you go, you go, like I see like pictures of like blood that you're like pouring on people. Pouring on their situations, you just basically like that's your mouth, and when you open your mouth, it's like you're sharing, like the blood is speaking. When you open up your mouth and you're pouring the blood and really share with people so they can really understand the significance and the power of the blood. The blood is what made it possible.
Mm-hmm.
The blood had to be shed. The blood is a good thing. The blood is a good thing. It's because of the blood we're speaking right now.
Yes.
We have this opportunity right now. And so I really sense that pull because you're being persistent in your pursuit.
Amen.
The persistence.
Thank you.
Just thank God for covering and keeping you and just basically he's like presenting you. He's not like building you up. But he's making the path ready for your arrival. Like you're on your way to something, and like when you get there, so many people have been waiting for you to get to this place because you have what they need. You have their supply. You have what's going to get them over the hump. You have what's going to teach them how to destroy the hump. you have a word that's going to teach people not to focus on getting around the mountain, but speaking to the mountain to be removed.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Yes. Amen.
And them seeing it the way he says it, them seeing it the way he said it, it's going to become clear for them. So I just thank God for that clear word. a clear word in your pursuit, your persistent pursuit after what he's promised for you. And I just thank God for that. In Jesus' name, that's what I got for you, Deb.
Amen. Lord, we thank you for Deborah. Lord, we thank you for for her revealing things for what they really are. I see you really revealing witchcraft to people. People think, when they think witchcraft, they think spells, and they think of somebody stirring a pot of some really stinky stew with pointed shoes and a pointed hat with a, you know, a wart on their nose. Yeah. But some witchcraft is television. Some witchcraft is in song. Some witchcraft is in certain mindsets. Some witchcraft is in a person who's well-meaning to try to manipulate things to go the way they want it to go, not even checking to see if God wants it to go that way or not. These are forms of witchcraft. And I see God using you to expose witchcraft, because a lot of times when people correlate things with words. Words are spiritual.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that God has been giving me revelation about, that words are spiritual. But when you hear a word, your mind automatically correlates something with it. If I say banana, you know, you'll physically see it in your mind, and you might even be able to taste it, depending on if you like it or not. It might give you a pleasant feeling, like, yummy, I like bananas. Or it might give you, like, I don't like them, they're slimy, this, and the other. But every word, your mind is associating it with something, and then it affects you in some way. That's power.
Yeah.
And I can give you a word. Words are invisible. You don't see what I'm saying, and you hear them. But yet they have the power to affect you. And so the enemy is always trying to redefine things. So if somebody says, oh, man, that's witchcraft, they're thinking of people casting spells, not realizing the different forms of witchcraft. So they'll just dismiss something, or they won't even look for it to be that because they don't associate it with that. Somebody gives me a bowl of cherries, I don't think that could possibly be a banana. It's a bowl of cherries. I know what it is. And so that's how the enemy sneaks things in. If they're not seeing somebody with a spell book, they're not looking at it to be witchcraft. They don't think it could be witchcraft, and not knowing that it is witchcraft. And God's going to use you to expose the witchcraft in things, and when people are operating in it. Some people are operating in it and don't even know it. They don't know it. They're literally ignorant to it. I remember telling somebody that one time, they were very manipulative.
Wow.
And this person thought that it was okay because they were just trying to get their way. I said, that's witchcraft.
Come on. Yes.
And she would say, oh, I know how to spin things. I said, it's witchcraft. It's not spinning things. It's pure witchcraft, what you're doing.
Yes.
Using your power, and then you're manipulating, and you're telling half truths or making people think something because it could go either way. So presenting things in a certain way to where you're not saying it, but you're implying it and all that, and then broke it down.
Yes.
And that's witchcraft. And she just was just offended. But it was the truth. That's witchcraft. That there's no God in what you're doing. That's the work of the devil that you're doing in me. You fluffed it up. It's lace trim danger, but it's still danger, even though you put a little piece of lace over it to make it look dainty. If I remove the lace, it's dangerous. So just because you put some fluff on it and sprayed it with a little Chanel number 5, it's still witchcraft.
Come on. Come on.
Exactly. Use you to expose witchcraft in areas, different ways that it can be done, different ways that people operate in it so that they can be set free. So, Lord, we thank you for the discernment in Deborah, Father God, for her having the ability to see witchcraft and identify it, to say, that's witchcraft. And I place the blood of Jesus over that. And I speak the blood of Jesus over your mind or your mentality or your broadcasting or your songs, or whatever it is where they're operating in witchcraft, that she's combating it. She can see it, and she'll combat it with the blood of Jesus.
To undo and
teaching her how to pray to disable and dismantle and to render it useless, of giving her powerful prayers to stop the power of the witchcraft that's done, to stop it right in its track, to disable, dismantle, to disarm it, to take away its steam, to siphon it of its gas so it goes nowhere. So we thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you to you and your husband for that encouraging words, and I certainly receive it in Jesus' name. And one thing that your husband was saying, where he was speaking about that God is getting me ready for the arrival, and I had a dream some time ago, and because I have been praying and asking God for directions to make it clear to me. Mm-hmm. But I had a dream, and I just give a part of it. But it was a man of God in the dream, and he just looked at me, and he just said the word. He said, God told me to tell you it is time to run. It is time to run with the ministry. It is time. And also when your husband was also speaking about, you know, the blood, every time, when I'm in prayer, I always say, Lord, you know, let your blood speak. Let your blood, because his blood is speaking. I said, let your blood speak. Oh, Lord, have mercy. And this is when I'm in the midst of prayer. Help me, Holy Ghost, because I feel the anointing of God, Lord. His anointing, Lord, have mercy. But also, as you were speaking about, when you talk about that words and the banana, and you are, that is so true, because you can tell me a banana or you can tell me a cherry, but that's not what I see. And it's not what I taste. It's something, you know, I have to go behind it. I just don't, you know, the Lord is teaching me, no, it's just not face value on the surface. He said, you got to go behind it. You have to go behind it. You have to see what's going on in the back, you know. And I, you know, I just, you know, thank God for that word. Yes, dealing with, oh, Lord have mercy. People look at me like I'm crazy when I be telling them, you know, I'm being led by the Spirit of God. You know, no, that's not what, okay. Yeah, you know, games, you know, different games and these Harry Potter games and one, you know, friend of mine who have these different games. And I said, that's demonic. Y'all got Harry Potter bringing objects in your home. I'm very curious when it comes down, if I go into someone's home, of objects. I'm very curious about objects. What type of object, you know, is in your home? Not that I'd be looking around, but it's just, I'm just, my spirit, I'm just like, just looking, because it's just so much. And, you know, sis, and then I'm going to get ready to let you go. But the sad thing about it is, sis, that when you have saints of God who don't even realize that they're in witchcraft. That's the sad part. That some of the saints don't even realize that they're doing witchcraft to each other. So, you know, but, you know, to God be the glory. Thank you for the word. And you know what? I believe I'll run on to see what the end is going to be. Thank you so much. And listen, please let me know, because I have friends here who are pastors. It is no problem. None whatsoever to get you guys to come here to Ohio. Step your foot on Ohio. Please come. Let me know and get something planned for next year. We'll go ahead and get this planned. Please let me know. the inventory. Mm-hmm. I mean, the invitation and the inventory.
Yeah.
Amen. It's open. So you and your husband, please let me know, and we shall move forward in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. All right, we'll do.
Absolutely.
All right. I love you both. God bless you, and have a good evening.
Thank you. We love you too. Have a good night.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
We're going to Ohio.
All right. Well, we've got still got quite a few callers. I took down the area codes and prefixes. I'm just going to pray over them real quick because it's going to probably cut us off. But we're going to get as many people as possible. So next is 682738. Lord, we thank you for 682738 for them seeing the fire of who you are, Father God. It's like I see the swords. I see like the fire swords of God. And the only what comes to my mind is when Adam and Eve were kicked out of the garden and it said that they couldn't come back in. If there was like, I believe it was like an angel with a fire sword or something like that to where they couldn't, to protect them from being able to, where they couldn't come back in. But I see the fire sword of God being over you to where what was trying to come back can't come back, right? Because it's banished. So when God delivers you of something, even people sometimes, I see like the fire sword of God where you can't gain entrance anymore. They can't gain entrance anymore into your life. Because God really has plans for you, and what's not for you is just not for you, and God's not even going to allow it. So Lord, we just thank you for that, for that protection. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 225270. Lord, we just thank you for 225270. We just thank you for the rejoicing, the wonderment, seeing the wonderment of who you are. Look that word up. I normally would, but just because of time. But I see you really seeing God for the wonderment. That's the word I'm getting, wonderment. Wonderment of who he is and really basking and rejoicing in the Lord, really taking him all in. It's a lot to take in. He's a lot to take in. But you really taking him in and really having that love affair with him, the lover of your soul. There's just a joy that you're going to have a joy, the wonderment of who God is. So, Lord, we just thank you for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Next is 704-492. Lord, we just thank you for 704-492 for just the firmly planted feet, for firmly planting their feet and just giving a solid foundation. Anything that's being built needs a solid foundation. And I see God firmly planting your feet and giving you a solid foundation. When the foundation is solid, then whatever's built on it is solid as well. So it doesn't matter what tries to come at it. The foundation is what keeps it upright, the foundation. So I see that. I see your feet being firmly planted where you're unmovable. You're unmovable. And what God is using you to build will be unmovable as well, unshakable. Right? It doesn't matter what they throw at it, what they try to do, can't try to tear it down. It can't be torn down because the foundation is in Christ. So just have faith for that. Have faith for that. Let that be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 870415. We thank you for 870415 for very clear direction. I see God really giving you clear direction in the way that you should go. Because there's lots of paths, right, in life. And I'm not talking about the path like of salvation. You've already solidified that. But I'm talking about just a path in life of sometimes the decisions that we need to make. There's a lot of different decisions that we can make. But I see God illuminating your path and making it very clear to you what you need to do. And when you have that clear path from God, even when the decision is a tough one and something that you know, sometimes we know, we're like, okay, I know this is what I need to do. I don't really want to do that. I'm hoping that's not what it is, but that's what I need to do. You still have peace about it. God's going to make your path clear where he wants you to step your foot clear. So, but you're going to have peace even when it's things that don't, that you didn't necessarily want to do. But when you do it, you're going to see the benefit and be grateful that you were obedient to what God told you to do. So we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 404453. Lord, we just thank you for 404453 for just really having revelation of your word and it just becoming very clear. And I see you really seeing the layers of the word of God and really gaining revelation and really feeding off of the word. It's like your wisdom level is just going to be taken to new levels. That's something I'm praying for too. I love wisdom. I want it. I want all the wisdom, you know, and I see you seeing the layers of the word and really studying the words itself, like the actual words that are translated, because some things can't be translated word for word. So where you get more depth of the word and more meat of the word, where you could feed off of it more. It's going to be more meaty to you. And this is going to change your life in every area, every single area. And those who are attached to you, it's going to change their lives too. So Lord, we just thank you for that. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. Next is 504-282. We just thank you for 504-282 for just having the companionship, the mate, everything that they need, want, and desire. And it being done by your hand, Father God, because everybody wants somebody, you know, whether it be friends, whether it be a spouse. We all desire to have people, but we want the right people. The right people. That's what's important. We don't want any old friends, any old mate. You want the right people. And so it's thank you, Father God, for the right mates for 504-282, the right people that will edify and build up and love. Not be perfect, because nobody's perfect, but people who are sent by you. So Lord, let that be done. Let your will be done in their life, in the area of mate, friendship, all that. Of their people. Let it be done in Jesus' name. Amen. That's everybody. It's 8:37. I'm glad we didn't get cut off. Call back at 8:45. Hit one, get in the queue. Randy typically prays over everybody on Wednesdays after he gives the message. The revelation has been, he's been just pouring revelation. It's just been amazing. Go and listen to the archives. Make sure you're listening to the revelation series that have been going on. Just awesome stuff. But until next time, we love you all. Good night.
Good night.
Thank you.